I'm Steve Potter. This is St. Louis on the Air, and I'm in for Don Marsh today. Well, people who live in the small southern Illinois town of Patoka like to talk about Drew Baldridge. He's an up-and-coming country singer who is one of 17 high school graduates there in 2010. But Patoka is getting attention for another reason. St. Louis Public Radio's Mary Leonard joins us for this week's Behind the Headlines segment. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Steve. Good to be here.
Good to see you on this beautiful morning.
Absolutely.
When I say another reason, I'm talking about the Patoka Tank Farm, which is an oil storage site. Explain that.
Well, it's hard to explain. It's because it's so unusual to see this in the Illinois countryside.
But there are sites like this all over the country.
There are. It's a big tank farm, and that's exactly what it is. That's what the people call it. It's giant steel tanks that hold hundreds of thousands of barrels of oil.
So when you say giant, what would the dimensions be?
Somewhere like 40 feet tall, four stories tall, and about 200 feet diameter.
And how many would there be?
50, 60, 70. They keep growing. They keep adding to the tanks there.
And what kind of area does it cover? Is that like an acre of land?
Oh, no. I think it's a larger area than that. But it does. It keeps growing. We drove around it. It was probably a square mile, maybe. But it's actually out in the countryside between the little town of Patoka and the little town of Vernon.
And where exactly is that?
This is, if you stand at the arch and look due east, it's probably about 60 miles as the crow flies.
Hmm. Well, the story kind of...
In Illinois.
Right.
Marion County.
Well, the story really goes back to World War II, or maybe even a little before then.
Actually, the whole reason we looked at this piece, we looked at the tank farm, was because it's the end of the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Hey, I've read about that.
You probably have. You've heard a lot about it. And there's been, as you know, it's been in the headlines a lot. There have been protests up in North Dakota. And the pipeline, it goes over 1,000 miles. It's 1,000 miles from North Dakota, and about 100 miles of it cuts through Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it ends at this little town of Patoka.
And how long has it been there?
Year. Well, the pipeline, of course, is new, but the tank farm has been there since World War II. Or maybe even slightly before. What we really looked at is, why does the Dakota Access Pipeline end in Illinois? Because you'd look at the maps and it would show Illinois, and I would wonder why.
Well, at one time back around World War II, the federal government divided the country into different, into a number of different separate oil divisions. I'm probably using the wrong terms. What do we need to understand about that?
Yeah. What we really need to know is, first, why Marion County would be this basic storage area where pipelines of oil come in and go out. And the reason for it is, oil was once big in Marion County. They discovered oil there back in 1938, I think it was, just about a half mile south of Patoka. There was a big oil discovery, and all of a sudden there were derricks all over the county. So oil was already kind of a big part of Marion County, which is not what we expect in Illinois or in southern Illinois.
Yeah, I'm thinking flat fields and farmland.
Exactly. And so it's really, when we talk to the people who live around there, and they say, well, you know, the tank farm, it looks odd to all of you when you're driving up Highway 51 and you just see these giant storage tanks. But to us, it's just part of the landscape.
And I understand the pipe... It also feeds into Wood River, Illinois.
Exactly.
So do the structures there, do the tanks look like what we see in Wood River?
Yes, but bigger.
Bigger?
Bigger. If you want to get a kind of a mental image of them, think about Wood River and those big white tanks you see by the refinery. But then these are just even bigger. Pipelines go in from the oil fields. Pipelines go out to refineries.
Wouldn't you say this is something most of us, and, you know, I've lived around here for a long time, and I never think about big tunnels under the ground carrying oil. Doesn't even cross my mind.
Exactly. And I think when you're driving up the highway and you see this tank farm, you still don't even think about that, even though there are pipelines under the highway, they're through the farmlands. There are pipelines all over this country, and I think sometimes people forget that pipelines aren't anything new. there have been pipelines delivering oil since they discovered oil.
Well, Mary, would it be fair then to say that they're relatively safe? Because if they weren't, wouldn't we be aware of things happening all the time, which we're not?
Well, you know, that's not for me to say. I can tell you that there are leaks, and there are leaks all of the time in the news. There have been leaks around the tank farm. There have been leaks in various parts of the state. But yes, I would guess that you would say that. But I stayed away from that part of it. My focus was on why is this tank farm here and what do people here in town think about it? Because there's so much attention on the protests up north. Why isn't anybody paying attention to what's happening here?
So when did you realize the tank line ends in Patoka? And initially, what made you decide you were going to go down there?
One day I was looking at a map, and it showed the map from North Dakota into Illinois. And I thought, well, I know that part of Illinois. For people from St. Louis who go to Carlisle Lake, Patoka is about 7 miles from the northern part of that lake. And I thought, well, I can't imagine why would all that oil be going there? There's no big refinery there. And I saw one story that said there was a river port, and I thought, there's no river port there. So I began to look it up. I discovered some photos of this tank farm, and we thought it would just be very interesting to go take a ride.
It's a really small town.
Patoka is very small, about, I think, under 600 people now.
I think it formed as a railroad town back in the mid-1800s?
Formed as a railroad town, exactly. Oh. And Vernon the same way, which is under 200 people.
Uh-huh.
And we talked to people who live right around the tank farm. And, you know, the thing is the pipelines are underground. So they see the tanks, but they're not seeing the pipes.
So, Mary, what you did, Dan, was really kind of get the human story to this whole thing. That's what you were looking for.
Right. We were looking for that. And one of the things we found is that, you know, Patoka is a small town that's declined in terms of its economy, population, just like so many small towns
in America. Well, describe it to me. You drive into Patoka. What are your first impressions? What do you see?
You see some small buildings, some empty businesses.
Does it have like a one little street strip downtown area?
No, it's not what you're picturing because you would have to drive off of Highway 51 into Patoka. And it's very small. It's just very, very small. And there's a big grain elevator. Unfortunately, most of the businesses in town are gone. So, you know, one of the things the mayor said was this tank farm is a very, very important asset to our community. People work there. And there aren't a lot of jobs for people in that area. It's primarily farming.
But I was under the impression that the community really didn't benefit financially much. But am I wrong about that?
The school district benefits. The property taxes, the way I understand it, are basically go into the school district. So the school district does benefit. Also, she pointed out that a lot of the oil companies that have headquarters there for their tanks, they contribute to various community efforts, and their workers often help out.
Well, how many workers are there? How many local people
that's
work
hard
there?
That's very hard to know. And the reason for that is this tank farm isn't like one owned by one conglomerate. It's all these oil companies that have tanks, and they're all centered around one another. So it was very difficult to find those specific numbers.
So would you call it, is the purpose of it for distribution? The oil comes there to be distributed various other places?
Absolutely. The oil comes in these giant pipelines, and then it goes back out. In Illinois, there are four, I think, major refineries. The one here in Wood River that we're familiar with. There's also up in the Chicago area, Joliet, Indiana border. You know, Illinois is the fourth largest refining state, which I think, again, people don't really think about Illinois as being an oil state.
Well, what kind of jobs are there? It shows you what I know about this kind of work. Nothing. What kind of – you talk about the local people working there. What do they do?
Well, at this storage facility, they're primarily doing maintenance and security. Once the tanks are built and the pipeline comes in, the construction jobs are over. So, you know, when you see these figures about, you know, this pipeline is going to create X number of jobs, it's really important to remember that those are temporary jobs.
I was going to ask if they were good paying jobs.
I wasn't able to get a figure. I did ask, but I think, you know, they're, most of them are laborers' union. They work through the laborers' union.
So it'd be a decent wage, you would think.
I would think.
Well, you met a guy there by the name of Brian Stover. How did that happen?
Well, just a wonderful gentleman. He lives in a house right across from the oil tanks.
What does it look like?
A white frame country house. He sells fresh eggs. And
that's how you met him, right?
Chickens. Absolutely. I love fresh eggs from the countryside. So we pulled in and asked if he had any eggs. And he was out that day, but he invited us in and we sat and chatted. And, you know, he's got quite the view of the tank farm from his windows, because that, when he looks out his windows, that's what he sees are these giant, massive steel tanks.
You know, I think about that when I drive by Wood River and Hartford in that area, and you see the groups of homes there, and they have that exact same view that you're describing. And I've always in the back of my mind wondered what the residents thought of that, if they didn't notice it being there all the time, or maybe if they enjoyed it for some reason.
You know, it's part of the landscape. People there say, well, you know, we have grain farms. We have wheat farms, and we have corn farms, and we have a tank farm. So, and keep in mind that that tank farm was there long before Mr. Stover was. He moved into his home. That tank farm was already there, so it didn't bother him to move there.
He's in his mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
On a side note, how are the eggs?
Great. if you get that way, I would recommend that you stop.
Are there no pollution concerns there, Marion? I'm not talking about leaks underground, but I know just my experience with Wood River, sometimes they're not often, and it's not usually bad, but sometimes there isn't the air is affected by it.
Well, I'm certain that the people who live around there from time to time experience that. You know, that is part of the industrial nature of that.
Well, what did Mr. Stover say?
He said it's that the tanks are good neighbors. You know, he said his chickens don't mind, you know, living across from them, and they lay lots of eggs. And, you know, he took it very much as just part of his life. It, you know, there's the tank farm. He lives a little bit out in the country, doesn't have any real neighbors. And I think he looks at it and watches it from time to time, but it's just, like I said, part of the landscape.
Hmm. Well, you know, what do people there in Patoka think about the controversy? You know, maybe they watch TV news and see protests up in North Dakota, and it's kind of like a big deal. But from what I'm hearing from you, it doesn't seem to be an issue down there.
There have been some minor, I would say, small demonstrations at Patoka, but the local people that we spoke to, they kind of don't get it. And I think part of it is because, keep in mind that those pipelines and the tank farm there have been part of the landscape there for decades. So as one resident told me, you know, this isn't our first pipeline. So this is, I think, sometimes it's like Granite City and the steel mill. People who live in Granite City they're used to, and that's part of the landscape. That's part of the community. People driving by say, oh, my gosh, how do you live so close to a steel mill?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what I found there, is this is just as much a part of their community as you say, Wood River.
But they don't seem to be involved in the politics of it.
I did not find anyone who was involved in the politics of it. I think they view it as a business. There is a welding company in Patoka that does a lot of work out there. And I would say that those employees aren't employed by the oil companies. They're employed by this welding company. And I know that those are good jobs for that community.
I know you went to Patoka on a couple of different occasions. How many people did you talk to?
Oh, probably a dozen here and there. You know, there are not very many people there during the day. A lot of them leave town and go elsewhere to work. Some of them drive as far as Greenville or Salem, the nearby towns, because there's just no places really to work anymore. There aren't very many businesses left in Patoka.
Mm-hmm.
So if you need a job, you have to drive somewhere.
Yeah. Do any of the other residents you met stand out to you in things that they said?
I would say that we stopped into a cafe in Vernon, and people are just really nice, friendly people, and I would say to them, why is that tank farm there? And they'd say, I don't know. It's just always been there. Because it's been there so long, people have grown up with it. I think they found it more odd that people are questioning them about why it's there. And I talked to the village clerk, who was really sweet, and she's pregnant with twins, and people kept coming by to say hi, see how she was doing, bringing jams and ice cream toppings and whatnot to fatten up her babies, because they call them the town babies. And the point she made was, this is just a really nice, close-knit community. People really like one another, care about one another here. It's a small town. We like it here.
You didn't find one person that had a problem with it?
I did not, but I'm that is not to say that they don't, that they're not there. It's just I did not find them.
How did they react? You said everyone was nice to you, but did you pick up on anything? How much attention do they get? I mean, here you are, a big city reporter coming in. They don't see that every day. I'm wondering how that affects them.
I think they are concerned when sometimes people swoop in with cameras and start asking pointed questions without really having a conversation or getting to know them. I have to say I don't feel that – I never picked up on that. But partly I think it's because we had conversations. We talked. We chatted. I would tell them why I was there and ask them if they'd like to be interviewed. And if they didn't, I never pulled out my microphone.
Mm-hmm. And so – how did it end up for you, Mary? Did you walk away with any new thoughts or ideas?
Well, I learned something. I learned about the fact that, you know, it's people have a lot of opinions about oil and the environment. I think they sometimes don't understand, though, just where all those pipelines are, that it's a part of where we live. You've probably got pipelines under your property somewhere. And, yeah, that's probably a concern, but you probably should find that out. And you should also understand the oil dependency. And I know that that's a part of this whole energy issue. But it's an industry, just like other industries in this country. And some people make a living from those industries. So everything's always complicated. And I learned a lot. I think one of the most surprising things is if you go to the story and you look at the graphic that my colleague Brent Jones did, the map showing the pipelines coming into the Patoka tank farm and the pipelines going out, it's a hub. It's like this busy underground hub, but you don't see it, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, go to stlpublicradio.org to find out what you wrote and all the other information that we have there that you reported on. Mary Leonard, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.